2, and you'll find that in your pew Bibles on page 699. The heading here in the Bible says, paying the imperial tax to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is on it, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. The second Bible passage is from Thessalonians chapter 1, and you'll find this on page 835 in your pew Bibles, and it's verses 1 to 10. To the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. The heading in the Bible here says, thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about you, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading.
I feel moved to pray, so let's pray. Father, we humbly come sitting at your feet because we know that this word, as every day and every Sunday, challenges us. If it doesn't, Lord, we're not listening. So please open us up. Help us not to be thinking about lunchtime or next week or next year, but to truly listen to what you have to teach us and not be afraid to realize the truth about ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last week, I was reminding us that we had read the Gospel of Luke, and I know you all have, right? And then I suggested you read the Gospel of Matthew to be able to compare the two and be able to discuss it with people, discuss it with your family, and so on. Well, in Matthew's Gospel, we know that it begins with the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, in order to connect us with the Old Testament. And it does a great job at that. We can see that certainly prophecy was fulfilled. Now, in Matthew today, whenever you're reading, remember always, if you pick a selection of scripture, look at what's happening before, because it will always set the temperature for what is being said and why. Now, prior to this particular selection in Matthew chapter 22, we see that Jesus is preaching and teaching in the synagogues with great authority. He's also healing people. He's telling parables of the kingdom of God. We see him riding triumphantly into Jerusalem. He cleans the temple out of the money changers, and he begins to tell a couple of more parables until we get to where we are today. He tells the parable of the two sons, the parable of the wicked tenants. At the end of that particular parable of the wicked tenants, there's a little paragraph we need to hear before we understand today's reading. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized Jesus was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. So you can feel the tension. And this tension isn't just after that parable. It's after everything that Jesus has said. They're trying their hardest to trap him. And last week, because of the baptism, we did the Great Commission. But had that not been there, we would have had the parable of the wedding banquet just before the question about paying taxes. And that parable was about, Jesus told them, it was about a king sending out invitations to everyone to come to the wedding banquet. And many of you know what happened. They made every excuse under the sun that they were too busy. Too busy. Well, that parable is about the kingdom of God, and every day Jesus offers an invitation for us to come to his wedding banquet. He is the groom. We are the bride preparing for that day. And I hope and pray that none of us here are rejecting that invitation. But we know the people out in the world may be rejecting, and that needs to spur us on to care for them. Now, at the end of that particular parable, he talks about heaven and hell. Hell is eternal separation from God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there because of the joy and the hope and the love and the power we receive through knowing God and walking with him every day of our lives. Now, that leads us into what we're reading today, the question about paying taxes. Now watch the Pharisees again. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So watch this. Jesus is out there with crowds of people. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" You see, they're trying to trap him. They're being deceitful and dishonest. And they thought if they joined in with the great crowd that Jesus would, "We'll get him this time. We'll get him this time." However, watch, they, you know, we do this too sometimes. Don't be thinking, "Oh, those Pharisees." We can be Pharisees sometimes. Sometimes we can even be angry with someone and we want something from them. So we use sugar-coated words, do we not? I mean, I'll admit I've done that. Shame on me, I guess, but that's why we need the Spirit to teach us how to get rid of those things. So watch this. They said, "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, I always love it when we read but Jesus or but God in the Bible. But Jesus, aware of their malice. You see, God knew us in our mother's womb. And he knows what we're thinking and what's going to come out of our mouth before we even think it or speak it. So don't be thinking we can sort of move around this way and get what we want and nobody will know. It's Satan that says to us, oh, don't worry. Nobody will notice what you said. Oh, yes, God will notice what we say. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Oops. We don't like to think that Jesus might call us a hypocrite. But think about the deceitfulness sometimes we do in our own lives. And don't be frightened of that. I'm so thrilled that the Holy Spirit teaches us these things. Because when we get rid of that negativity, that sinfulness, and the mistakes that we make, we have more of him in our hearts so that we have more courage to go out there and meet the people and talk to people. Imagine that about Jesus. Show me the coin used for the tax, Jesus said. And they brought him a denarius, and I put that in the bulletin for you in case you've never seen one before. Then he said to them, whose head is this and whose title? They answered, the emperor's. Then he said to them, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. Now I want you to read that with me from the bulletin, please. In the larger box there, starting with the word give. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. Now in the small box, what are the things that are God's? Our faith and our example. And we'll never be able to do that unless we know the word inside and out. So, having said that, when the Pharisees heard this and the Herodians, they were amazed and they left him and went away. They were really quite frustrated because we tried it again and it still didn't work. So, if you look in your bulletins today, you will see, where did I put mine now? Huh. No, I'm looking for my little orange paper. How did I lose it? Here, I got two now. But I did want you all to share in it. But anyway, I put it somewhere where I could find it. Never mind. You two share. Thank you. Now, remember what we are to give to God, our faith and our example. And if you were here on Thanksgiving Sunday, you remember I painted a tree up here. That took me a while, by the way. And you all came up with your leaves, and there was a little card there where you wrote something on there that I'll explain in a moment. Now, it says on your page here, take out your half sheet, the leaves have fallen and have been gathered together to give you a snapshot of the faith journey of your congregation, St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Niagara-on-the-Lake. Instructions for the leaf were as follows. Please write on the leaf one thing that Jesus' ministry has blessed you with, and here are your responses. Now, I did it this way this year because every other year I've asked, what are you thankful for? And what does everybody say?
Family.
Friends, and so on. But you know what? There's somebody much more important, believe it or not, than our family and friends. And that is?
God.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got to thank Jesus for the things that he has taught us through his ministry. These are the things of power and strength and courage. Now, what I did is I took all the leaves off the tree, just put them in a pile, and I just took one after the other. I didn't look to see, well, which one could I put first? But it's amazing how God did this, because the very first thing that somebody put was a life. Thanking Jesus for life. The very breath that we breathe, he giveth and he taketh away when our time to go home will come. I love the second one. I didn't write this. Grace for understanding St. Andrew's and grace for understanding me, someone wrote. Awesome! Because we come to church with all these different personalities, and you know what we're like in the flesh. I want it done this way. Well, I want it done this way. Well, you can't have it that way because I want this way. Forget our personalities. It's about dying to the flesh, and it's about letting the Spirit of God take over our lives. That's what brings us into unity in any church. Then we're going to know what God wants for His church. And God's ways are so different than ours. So different. And that's what the world is looking for, something different. Because they've seen all of us in our, well, on our worst days. And they're not impressed. I wonder why. But if we're walking around more and more in the Spirit of the living God, how awesome that will be. I'm not going to read them all, but I will go through just a few that I had marked, darn it. Anyway, answered prayers. For God so loved the world, He gave His begotten Son. Lo, I am with you always. His example, His forgiveness. Remember, these are all of your answers. He has blessed me with love. When you do this for the least of these, you do this for me. Interesting that that one was in there, because just a couple of days ago I was shopping and there was a beggar outside the store. And I admit, over the years, quite often, I, like everybody else in this room, we sort of think, well, if I give them money, they're going to spend it on drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or something like that, right? Do we ever think that, or is it just me? All right. This time, the last couple of times this has happened to me, I was busy. I had to go into stores and then return something, but he was still around. So I went back to my car and got some money. And as I did that, someone in the store came out and asked him to move along. But I went after him and I called to him and I gave him that money. And he thanked me for it. And then I turned around and walked away. And I usually go about 10 or 15 steps and turn around just to see where he's off to. Just for fun. And you know what? Twice this has happened to me. I turn around and poof, he's gone. Sometimes I wonder if God Himself doesn't come to the earth in the image of a poor man or a poor woman just to see, are you my people or are you not? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. You see, it's not our responsibility to know what that man is going to do with our money, or with my money in this case. When I did it, the Spirit of God just, fluttered in me that, yes, Suzanne, you did do what I asked you to do. So, okay, there's many more good things here. There's a few on healing. And this is another issue in the church. We don't talk about healing. Why not? Someone came up to me a few weeks ago and said he was feeling ill, so I gave him a little booklet on healing. Whether he read it or not, I don't know. That's up to him. But the thing is, when we are sick in the church, we are to call on the elders to come over to our home, pray for us, lay hands on us, and anoint us with oil. That is the Word of God. And do you know what the symbolism of oil is? Who said it? The Holy Spirit. It's not only the dove. It's not only the wind. It's oil. So they're coming in the power of the Holy Spirit to see where our faith is, to heal us. Sometimes, I said, we're healed right away. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it happens in a different way. But why not see what God wants to do? I don't want to lay in a bed and forget about God. I want Him to come. Come to me, God, and show me why I'm suffering. Show me what I need to learn so I can move on and be a witness. Our faith and our example we need to give to God. There's one other place that I want to mention on the reverse side. I'm going to give you a challenge. You know, you always ask me, what's our challenge today? Someone said, well, I wasn't here last week, so I didn't have to do the challenge. But I said, I'll get you. I would challenge you. Now, this is all a faith journey that you've given to me here. I'm going to use this in other churches where I preach to show them your faith journey, to give them your witness. Now, I would love for you to call somebody up this week and ask them, what did you say on this list? What meant so much to you? Can we talk about that? And then you, in turn, share what you put on this list and talk about it. If we don't start talking in this world today, look what's happening out there. It's sad. People are exploding all over the place, killing for no sense at all, because they don't know the love of Christ in their hearts. And I'm going to challenge the person who put this one on here. The person halfway down who put his faithfulness, Isaiah 26:3. I will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. I have that plaque in my living room. And I would love to meet with that person this week for coffee, so we can share what that verse means to each one of us. I'll even pay for the coffee. You can get my number, my phone number, and my email address from Carol in the office. So, you know what? If I ask you to do it, I'm going to do it. And we'll see. And I'm going to be listening over the weeks. I'll be back in December for 4 weeks, and I'm going to be listening. All right, who did it? Or who didn't? But truly, this is an awesome picture of you. You should be proud of yourselves. This is awesome in the Lord what you have done. And I'm not going to let it stop there. I'm going to use it for many, many places. So let's go over to 1 Thessalonians, because you're going to understand what our faith and our example are all about besides just putting it on a piece of paper. Okay? Now, in the letter to the Thessalonians, this is about a church. This is a church that's about 3 years old. Paul was there. He taught them well. He left and then heard that they were confused about the coming of Christ. So he wrote to them to be encouraging. And you heard the words earlier. He says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Imagine starting a letter with something like that, or texting with something like that, or an email instead of the G word, gossip. Let's do God instead of gossip in our emails and wherever we're having conversation. Then Paul is so excited. He talks about the Thessalonians' faith and example, and it's just like we need to be. We always give thanks, Paul says, to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and, listen, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. We are all chosen here. Because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Remember last week I said about Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the believers, and Peter went out right away and preached the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people were listening to that message and came to know the Lord and were baptized on the one day. You've all been baptized. You all have the Holy Spirit. So you need to be giving the message to people so that they will hear it. Well, it goes on, it gets better. Just as you know what kind of people we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. Don't be discouraged when you start really ministering about the Lord in your life. You will be persecuted. I've been persecuted all my life. Even Christians will persecute Christians, which is really sad because the Bible says, touch not my anointed. So be very careful. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, you are to be an example to all believers in Niagara-on-the-Lake. And remember, that stretches up to St. Catharines now. Teehee. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place where your faith in God has become known. You see, your faith in God needs to become known out there. What is St. Andrew's known for? You all know. Thank you. Strawberry Festival. And you know what else? The big white pillars. And that's fine. But find a way to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there as much as you do, all that energy you put into the Strawberry Festival, folks, put it into passing on the message of God. You don't want people separated from God for eternity, so that we have no need to speak about it, for the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. So what are we to be giving to God? Look at your bulletin if you don't remember. Small box. Our faith and our example. So I'm going to leave with you two other things that are important. If you go back to the call to worship for a minute, this is taken out of that Living Faith Statement, which is the green booklet that I talk about often. This is all scripturally based. But listen to these powerful words. Once Grazinas gets settled down here. Listen to this. Faith is a gift of God constantly renewed in word and sacrament and in the, shared life of God's people. So hear that again. Faith is a gift of God constantly renewed in word and sacrament and in the shared life of God's people. It is trust in God, involves personal repentance of sin, acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior, and commitment to Him as Lord. It includes assent to the truth of the gospel. By faith, we receive the very life of God into our lives and joyfully discover that God knows, loves, and pardons us. This is what should be on our minds out there when we meet people on the street or be with our families or be with in our social times with people. They should see the joy of the Lord on our faces. And I have one more witness to you. Oh, boy. Last week, we sang in that hymn, and I hope you saw the words that I saw. I'm going to just repeat verse 1 and 4. This is where we sang, Lord, you give the Great Commission. Listen to verse 1. Lord, you give the Great Commission. Heal the sick and preach the word, lest the church neglect its mission and the gospel go unheard. Then verse 4, I love it. Lord, you show us love's true measure. Father, what they do forgive. Yet we hoard as private treasure all that you so freely give. Do you understand that? We think hoarding is about material things. But this hymn is talking about, and it's true, we hoard God's love. We hoard forgiveness, His mercy. All of the gifts of Jesus that are on this list and in our hearts, don't hoard them. Share them. Tell someone this week. As I say, I challenge you to call somebody and ask them where they are on this list. And you share where you are on this list. And I hope someone calls me for that coffee on that scripture. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we do need to pay our taxes, but we need to give back to you and to others what you have given to us. Your love, your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace, your power, all of these things. These are the things we need to be sharing much more than what we do. Oh God, forgive our flesh. It's so arrogant and so rude sometimes, and so selfish. Please forgive us and show us the way. And you have shown us the way in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh God, we pray for every person here and for the future of this church and for all churches that lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It is time, Lord. We've got to be shaken up a bit. We're too complacent in our pews. We're too eager to go home from church and, well, I've done my job. No, we haven't. This is a place where we equip the saints, and then we are to go out and equip other saints to come and be baptized In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we do pray for the whole world, for all these natural disasters that are happening. Dear God in heaven, if we can help in any way, show us, teach us. And Lord, we pray for those that are so angry that they need to murder people and torture people and do heinous crimes. Dear sweet Jesus, forgive us for not speaking out more to the people that are really struggling. The church is here to help people with their problems, not to judge, not to criticize, not to point fingers, because we're all the same in your eyes. We pray for those who might be entering into surgery soon, or perhaps even today, or those that are sick at home, or those that are in homes that are so afraid to come out because they just don't know what to expect anymore. They're frightened. Please, God, help us to find these people and minister to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen.